How's that? How's that? Does that? That's why you have a general manager, everybody. Good afternoon, Central Wisconsin. Hope you all are having a great, great afternoon. Playmakers on your radio dial, brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Your host, James, here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. You got a second take at this, Randy.
I do. I get a chance to give a second shout-out to my cousin who's out in Colorado, Scott. We're still identical twins, born 5.5 months apart with different mothers, but still identical because we've just been growing up together. And Scott, just want to wish you a happy birthday out there in Colorado Springs.
Saying a good afternoon to him and a happy birthday to him, and appreciate him and all of you listening out there. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And a special thank you to Chuck Dodaro, of course.
For getting us on
Chuck. Yeah. We want to talk local sports with Randy a little bit later. He's got some up-to-date stats for us on that. We'll get into it in a little bit later. But it gets no more local than our Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters. And, of course, we are the home of your Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters. We have with us right now Tyler from the Rafters, assistant GM. Tyler, good to have you with us, man.
Good to see you guys.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. And always, especially on a day like this where you have plans and then other things happen.
Well, that's the thing about working in baseball that I've learned quickly is working outside, outdoor sports. You never know what's going to happen. And when the rain's in the forecast and I just wake up ready to go, have a whole plan for the day, and then the rain comes, it kind of puts a huge dent in my day. But yeah, Glad to be here. That gives me an excuse.
Appreciate you being able to make the time. I did want to let everybody know right away, coming up on our 17th episode on June 17th, we're going to have the new voice of the Rafters joining us. Andy's going to be with us.
Yeah, no, Andy's super excited. Andy's been, I'm not sure if anybody's out there, has been able to catch some of the calls on the home of the Rafters, but it's been fun to listen to. He's got a great voice, really been telling some great stories about his first couple weeks here in Wisconsin Rapids. He's a former player, so he can bring some different insights as a pitcher, so when the pitchers are on the mound and their mindsets and what they're going through. So no, really, really enjoyed his time so far, calling 5 or 6 games so far, and still 66 to go, so still a long season ahead of us, guys.
It's interesting when, because, you know, not every team is going to be like our championship team, you know, some years back and everything. And even sometimes teams are not as competitive, it might seem. But every year, the announcing team that we have knock it out the park. Great announcers every year. And this year, Andy is, I don't want to take anything from any of the announcers we have had, but I don't know that I've heard one so polished. Mm-hmm. He really does sound like he has come off of the diamond of calling an MLB game or something like that. While I can also tell that, you know, he's still getting some bearings and getting some reps in, he sounds so polished. A classic voice, like one of those old school, yep, kind of radio voices, but everything he's saying is very modern, very, you know, now and all that. It's a really cool combination that he has. A lot of love, a lot of fun listening to him. I'm really loving it. It only adds to being able to keep up to things with our Rafters, having a voice like that that carries things along. One of the other things that certainly is fun and helps and the audience loves is our promotional things that our Rafters do. You guys do some amazing things, and one of them Randy and I have right in front of us. We have these Rafter bats that you guys handed out a little while ago. How did that go, Tyler? And where did this idea come from?
Yeah, no, that's...
I'm going to play with my bat while you're talking.
Of course. So, that's no, huge shout out to Solaris, a big corporate sponsor of ours, huge supporter of the Rafters. We kind of do a giveaway with them every year, and they're ones that like to do something that's really baseball-themed. They like to really try to connect. And so last year they did some can koozies. And this year I was like, you know what? We need something that the kids can get autographed, that something that they'll hold, you know, on, put it on their shelf and put it up away where, again, I'm a koozie collector and got a ton of them in my drawer at home, but this can be seen. You can put it up, again, get some autographs on it, and makes it kind of unique. So we gave these out on losing track of my days here.
Yeah, I hear you.
During the homestand Thursday night, we gave out those mini bats, and we've got a jam-packed promotional schedule. We've got a rally towel coming up this weekend, so another good giveaway to hang up on the wall or put up on the shelf. So no, it's always a fun time coming up with some of these ideas, working with the corporate sponsors on what they're looking for, what we kind of feel like would be good for our fans and just a baseball in general, and they turned out really cool. So yeah, no, figured I'd bring some gifts for you guys.
Incredibly
kind of you. Thank you.
Very nice of you. Very nice. We're going to put it up there right with our Rafter jersey and some other stuff. With these, do you guys get together? Is it something that you get together a couple times during the summer or during the winter even to go and go over this stuff? Or is it you make notes throughout the year like, oh, this is a good idea, I want to come back to this or that? How does it work?
So we usually, we've sold mini bats in the store before, and that was kind of where the idea came is the last year and a half we haven't had any because we just ran out. And so it kind of stems from that. Usually same thing with the koozies before. It was like, okay, koozies always fly off the shelf, so they would be a good mass giveaway item. Same thing like with hats. Hats are a great mass giveaway item. So when you think of that kind of thing, again, that's the cool part is this stuff – It's I had these ordered by January. Ordered. I mean, they're ready to go. So no, it's lots of fall meetings, sitting down with the corporate sponsors and figuring out what we're kind of going to do for the upcoming promotional schedule. And everything's lined up. We just don't make it public until that April time. So
I get a gift for my kids, and I have to do it like the weeks beforehand. Otherwise, I'm gonna spill the beans, and I'm gonna give it to them right away. I couldn't imagine having these things just sitting there in the line, just waiting to give them to fans. That's got to be pretty cool, and it's very cool. You to bring this by, man. Thank you for that.
No, you're welcome.
I always appreciate the time for me, but as we're wrapping up, letting you go, I want to talk about some of the highlights so far in an early season, but already some great wins, some exciting games, even the other night, even with the game not going our way, coming right down to the last batter, and of all the batters we could have a go to, an interesting one in this young man, Max.
Yeah, no, and first just want to say, like, yeah, these one-run games, it just shows the fight that this team has, and I think I'm not going to speak for our field manager Kirk Schreider, but I think he would say the same thing, that's what he looks to build. He looks to build these teams that they're not going to give up in the late games. Again, you're down 2 to 3 runs. That's nothing in a league like this. Again, you're going to face a bullpen pitcher, and you may be able to get a hit off of them. And so that never give up mentality is again, I think, speaks true to this whole town. It's what it's what we're about. The Rafters are about, and I think these first six games have spoke true to that. Again, being 500, but the losses are close losses, other than the one in Wausau, but still put up 10 runs. Most nights that'll get it done. I think the fight is a huge part. But yeah, speaking of our early season first week MVP, I think we're going to go ahead and give that to Max McGuire. And I think if you want to Google the last name, that'll do speak of itself. But again, funny story that I shared kind of right as it happened is I got introduced to him. He got off the plane at he got into my office at about 5:15 for a 6:30 game. Flew into CWA, got picked up by his host family, immediately still had his suitcase in his hand, and was like, could you show me the locker room? And I was like, yes, sir, come on, right this way, you know, and showed him, got him introduced to everybody, got him a jersey. Again, didn't even know the guy's name he was going to be throwing to or playing catch with or anything. Hits a grand slam in his second at-bat. it just made the fireworks right off the bat for the season. So he's batting .412 in 17 at-bats already for the season. 5 RBIs. Is really the player to watch so far from University of San Diego, and obviously the legendary MLB player Mark McGuire's son is who that is. So, again, early on, the guy to watch for sure for the team, playing first base and some outfield for us this season. But when you look at these kids, or these young men, I should say, he's built like an MLB player. You can tell some of these guys that are walking through the locker room, you're like, okay, yeah, that guy's built to play baseball, just the way he's built.
As Brewer fans will note, as a Sox fan, I have nothing to look forward to this season at all, so I'm all about the MLB draft and thinking of them having a top pick or something like that, and I've already made up my mind of who I want the White Sox to draft. I'm already in my head envisioning McGuire on the back of a Sox jersey. I've already done it. It's already etched in my brain, and it's because of his play this season. Like I've really enjoyed not only that, but his approach, and hearing that backstory just makes it even more amazing.
It's crazy. It reminds me of Bobo a couple years ago. I mean, when they picked him up, the bus picked him up in Milwaukee after the team already got dropped off at this Lakeshore Stadium, and so the bus solo, this bus driver, he's amazing, and he was like, oh, I'll go pick him up at the Milwaukee airport. So picks him up, makes it by the time the game starts, so they get him a jersey, and he hits 2 home runs in that night. And we're like, okay, this kid's going to be special. Again, 2 years later, we're giving him a plaque for our home run leader, franchise home run leader. So again, similar thing when it happened, that I was like, okay, this is a special kid coming to Rapids.
As a side note, shout out to all the drivers out there that get these kids back and forth, and the plane, all the flight attendants, everybody that make that happen.
All those unseen, behind the scenes type of guys, right?
Yeah, that's really.
the host families. I mean, I'm telling you guys, these host families have been driving all around all weekend, picking these players up from the airports, and especially being in central Wisconsin, it's not like there's an airport 5 minutes away. So flying into CWA, I mean, the host families drive the 40 minutes to go pick them up and the 40 minutes back, and really take care of them and make sure they're here on time and ready to play. So no, there's a lot happening behind the scenes to make sure these guys are ready to go for being on the field.
And I think one of the cool parts is I know a number of the host families, and they say they've got relationships with these guys 5-6 years later that's really cool.
Yeah, it speaks to not only the way we care about this team, the way we feel about them, but the kind of players that the Raptors bring into this community that we always note and always appreciate. Similar to the River Kings, we always have good kids come into this town, and we appreciate that. And there's a lot of data to that. There's been a lot of years of this going on with that happening. It also speaks to that story that's going to stay with me, man, because not only we all understand that these guys sign up for this, that this is the job and this is what you do, and especially a kid like this who grew up in baseball and understanding it from his dad and all that. But at the same time, as a dad, you mentioned Mark, and it gets me thinking about that and everything. And if this is my kid and stuff, and they're traveling all over, and I've been to Wisconsin to play the Brewers. That's the only time my family's been to Wisconsin or something like that. And he's traveling to this state and all those things. It only makes us back these kids even more. It only makes us care about them even more. We're already homers. We're already going to be rooting for them and everything. But it's those little stories, those little things we learn, especially in baseball, but particularly in sports, that make you really appreciate what we have on the diamond, win or lose, which that's an amazing thing to be able to have during a season.
No,
especially in a baseball season like this. A little bit later, Randy and I are going to touch on a segment idea that I have. I want to do something to kind of honor Bill Walton a little bit. I want to have a good sports story every show. I want a good sports story, and it'll be the Bill Walton segment. It'll be a big Walt story. Right now, we've got one. We got one in this kid right there. I mean, he's him being here and the way he got here and everything is pretty cool. Thank you for that, Tyler. And always appreciate the time. As we're wrapping up, is there anything you want to touch on?
No. And I think, again, I think the one thing that I like to mention, especially for the first 2 weeks of the season, is a lot of these guys are truly on a temporary contract. So we still got guys in the NCAA regionals right now. We've got two guys playing for Virginia, a third one that just got signed actually from Virginia that's coming. We've got a couple other kids still finishing up some of their D2, D3 regionals and championships and some of that. So some of these guys, the sacrifice that they're making, or just the willingness to sacrifice. There's a kid that drove from Texas and slept, in a hotel halfway through and made it up and was ready to go for opening day. And he's on a temporary contract. He's looking to play. I mean, these kids want to play baseball. And that's when I talk with them, it's just so amazing to hear why they're here, how they got here, and the drive they have in them to continue to play baseball. So, no, it's an amazing story when looking at the guys personally, the players themselves.
We've got the Raptors in action tonight. Be sure to catch it. 6:35, our game will be kicking off. We'll be taking on Lakeshore over there at Capco Park in Minocqua. Is where the game will be going on tonight. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to hopefully another win like yesterday. That was a nice win last night.
It was a very good win.
Always good talking with you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
No, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Randy and I will be back with more Playmakers here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Randy and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Big thank you to Tyler Miller, assistant GM with your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, for joining us. Find out more at northwoodsleague.com. Get your tickets, northwoodsleague.com. Randy, we have these cool new bats. That's awesome. I just want to talk about those for the whole hour.
I thought it was kind of cool, and just before we went back on the air, you said, I am Batman.
Yeah, I can't help it. I'm going to drive everybody crazy around here with that. We want to open up the phone lines. 424-2600 is the number. Call up and join the conversation like this guest right here. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good morning, James. How you feeling?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I'm feeling.
Are you sure? Are you sure after the weekend?
No, I'm not sure. I'm never sure what day it is. That's why they put dates on my laptops and everything. That's the only reason way I know is what day it is. How's it going with you today?
Oh, the one thing I'm going to say is Tommy Fan.
What was up with that?
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear any of the takes that he, after the game, that he was giving? They interviewed him after the game.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like every other word out of his mouth they had to bleep, because he was just going off, and he's a fighter. He's going to fight anybody he wants to fight, and the third base coach doesn't know what he's doing. It's just like, holy cow.
Yeah, you know that there's no machismo in that. There's no smarts or tough guyness in that. I don't know anybody other than him who looks at that as tough guy behavior or looking out for your teammates or anything like that. That it's the exact opposite of that to me. You look insecure as it gets. You look like somebody who is not confident at all, who has to go like swinging at anything or losing their cool off of it. You're paid millions of dollars to keep your cool.
And when he slides into the catcher, the catcher doesn't move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. It's now one of the things that I thought was interesting with, now that situation is pretty, I think, cut and dry. The Mets player, what happened with him the other week, we thought was interesting, where he throws his glove and he's obviously very upset. And then afterwards, they're interviewing him and they're talking to him and keeping in mind that English is not his first language. And he says that, we're the worst team. And he said something like that, and he gets cut the next day, where it turns out that there was a the reporter misunderstood, the translation wasn't made well, or his English, he didn't translate it to English well, and then the reporters that were putting in articles in New York translated horribly, and just what he was trying to say is he was being the worst teammate. He was trying to be, by losing his cool and everything, he was actually having some accountability, but because of the language barrier, it didn't come across. I don't know if he was going to get, he was probably going to get cut or at least brought down to the minors or something anyway. We'll see what happens with him, but this is what happens when you put microphones in front of people's faces like minutes after. It always, one of the weirdest interviews you'll ever hear is a winning boxer after a match, and the things that will come out of their mouth and the things they will say, because their brain has just been jumbled all over the place and everything. I mean, let alone when you have the adrenaline rush going after a game. We know what that's like when we just shoot a basketball into a garbage bin, let alone what they're doing. I'm not okaying any of this. You still, again, are paid millions of dollars to keep your cool, like thousands of people have in interviews and everything before and during games. There's plenty of people that have had similar situations to what happened to Fam there and handle it a lot better, handle it professionally. And there's got to be better things to talk about, too. We only have an hour. There's got to be some better things. I have a little bit later, I have something that I want to get into with you guys in the audience, because I want to get people excited about the playoffs going on in hockey and basketball. But I have a curveball for our audience, and especially for Randy. We have had conversations with many of our guests, and I even had a guest on last week from Rams, the athletic director from Rams, and we were talking on air and off air about the need for our good referees and for referees, for umpires, for all of our games, whether we're talking baseball, basketball, football, whatever it might be. We also, since all of us are pretty much of the age, we're pretty much since we were kids, we've been hearing about robot umpires. See where I'm going with this. See what I'm doing here. If Major League Baseball really does want to see if robot umpires can work in sports, I think you should be doing this at the high school level. I think we should be having this over there, where it is really could really be truly used a lot more, where there are games that aren't being able to be played because we don't have individuals to be umpires, similar to basketball referees and everything. Now, how are you going to have a robot umpire or robot referee in basketball or something? We'll figure it out, science. This is my gig. I'm just giving you the idea. But it is far-fetched as it gets. It is Asimov science fiction and everything. But tell me there isn't something there. Tell me it is so such a crazy idea that it could never happen. Because that I don't believe. I think that we're closer to that than we might think, and we might be that closer because we might have to be. You're not going to get high school. Nobody's going to lose high school athletics. We will do what we have to keep high school athletics. If this is one of the things we have to do, I think it's something worth thinking about.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now, about the only thing they could do, as far as I can see, would be like calling balls and strikes for baseball, softball, but you'd still need somebody behind the plate because there's foul balls, there's fair balls, there's plays at the plate.
Drones.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm joking. Yeah. Now I'm joking.
But there's, you know, and the thing could malfunction. I don't know. I can't think of anything else that could be taken over. outside of balls and strikes at this point.
Yes, I agree.
You'd still need a person there.
I still need people. Still going to need bodies. You're always going to need bodies.
Right.
But if we can have one less body because of something like this, here's the other part of this too. I'm not looking at high schools paying for this. This is all Major League Baseball funding all of this. And again, not that far-fetched. One of the smartest things that the NHL did in recent years was seeing the need for younger players in America. Well, hockey's an expensive sport. How do we do this? Let's go to some of these urban neighborhoods. Let's go to some of these places, and we're going to build a rink. We're going to build a rink. We're going to give kids equipment. Go on. It's one of the greater, smarter investments you can make if you are in charge of this, sports, if you're in charge of hockey or basketball or any of these sports. Baseball's done a similar thing where they have been going around the country and around the world, really, helping build parks. Do something like this. Have your big MLB stamp right on that umpire. Like, we've already done this with other sports, with other things, where we're incorporating the major level, the pro level, along with the young level and the training level. I'm not trying to get these kids to grow up older. I'm not trying to get them to be professional athletes sooner. I'm trying to get these games played. And if I can't count on people to be there and to fill the job, we've got to get somebody to do these jobs because I don't want to see us lose high school athletics. So I feel like that there's something there, especially for Major League Baseball, and you're looking at what PR move that could be for them. Look what we're doing for the high school game. Look how we're – I mean, if that gets 20 kids to want to play baseball, you've already got your investment made. Because that's the thing of this, too, when we're talking about some of these fringe – not fringe sports, but sports that are not as popular as they used to be, like hockey, like baseball. You're not seeing the American athletes going into baseball like you used to. You're not seeing even Canadian athletes go into hockey like you used to. So how do we get this back? How do we get that going again? This is one of the ways that you do that. I'm not saying the robot umpire thing. I'm saying investing in the youth and showing that you're investing in the youth, like building a ballpark or something like that. Man, I know I threw a curveball when it is dead silent and the phone lines aren't even ringing. That's telling you so. Either that or did I kick us off the air? Did I? No.
What's our caller thing?
424-2600. But Kev, you were there? I thought he left. I thought he hung up. I thought we either lost him or he hung up there.
I didn't know if he was going
I was going to go to him a couple of times, and then I heard no noise or anything, so I figured he wasn't there.
Chime in there.
Randy, we're going to go to break here. When we come back, I want to get into our high school coverage.
Lots of it.
Yeah, a lot to cover and a lot of things coming up, too, including some exciting softball action going on for our Assumption Royals. All that coming up for you and more coming up here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Randy and James here with you. And before we get to our local coverage, Randy, going to take a phone call real quick. Good afternoon. You're back on the air.
Yeah, I'm back. This has been pretty rough today with the cell coverage with the weather. It's been really, really bad. And when you and I were just talking about everything that went on with the White Sox, I got cut off from you. But the reason why I called, and this is great to have Randy on this today, and too bad Seth wasn't in on this too. I listen after the morning show. I listen to a talk show radio, sports talk show. You know, kind of wore me up for the greatest talk show here at Playmakers.
Checks in the mail, brother. Checks in the mail.
there's a lot of people that do not believe that the Brewers are the Brewers, okay? They should be where they should be. And they won't make the playoffs. They won't do this. They're not going to do all this other stuff because they can't sustain what's going on. But to me, they're like, oh, the Brewers' schedule has been easy and all this stuff, and they haven't played anybody yet. But they're only one game under 500 playing against the top teams.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you look at all their offensive categories, they are.
I believe
their
number
categories, they're like in the top
10 or top 5 in a lot of categories. Yeah.
Oh, and almost, especially when it comes to runs. I mean, look at it, almost any statistic with runs for the Brewers right now, with runners in scoring position, you have guys on base. They, outside of if you have three runners on base, they are the number one in the league at it. I heard the stat earlier today that's the case. Now, the unfortunate part is when they have three batters on, they're dead last in the league with that, with the opportunity for grand slams. But that really is here or there. It's the fact that they are bringing in the runs, that they are finding ways to score. They're finding ways to get guys around base.
Well, I think what's also interesting is, you know, you got extra innings, and in the 10th inning, you start with a runner on second, and in every inning after that as well. What I always find interesting with the Brewers this year, it seems like every single is actually a double.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you just know they're going to swipe the base.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think that part of this with the fan base, or part of this, because I'm not even talking about the talking heads at the Mouse Network or anything like that. I mean, I'm hearing a similar thing from Brewer fans too when I talk about them, because I'm living vicariously through the Brewers and all the Brewer fans out there. That's what I've been doing for years as a Sox fan, and I pay close attention. And to me, this is an exciting team. It's an exciting time for this team, and with some exciting young players. But I have heard, I don't know. Or, I don't trust this, or I don't trust that. And I feel like a lot of it, when I ask them, is it because Council's not there? And I don't mean because of Craig Council, who he is or what he was. It's what he represented, consistency. You every year you knew he was there. Every year he built up some kind of respect, along with kind of just understanding of, well, this is a guy that gets things done. This is a guy who gets us wins. This is a guy who we can count on. Pat Murphy's been well known by fan base. If you've been paying attention, you certainly know who Pat is and everything. But I don't know that in your subconsciously that you have that trust in him, that's been built up. It's his first year. There's a lot of players out there. There's a lot of new young talent out there. And it's early in baseball season. I mean, listen to New York radio for 5 seconds, how they're feeling about the Yankees, or God, how they're feeling about the Mets. The sky is falling on both ends. Like, even when the Yankees win, the sky is falling. Even when they lose, it's already down. It's, you know, I wonder how much the fan bases are for everybody is like that, is especially in it's a long season when you've got so many games
to
play.
We're only a third of the way through, right?
But you're a believer.
Oh, I'm definitely a believer, especially in Pat Murphy, because just of what he's done in the, 60-some games that they've played already, that I was hoping to get it done before this week, and I didn't. Because I kind of wanted to look back on when Craig was coaching the first, try to get the stats from the first 60 games on where the Brewers are at compared to what Murph has done, is that, but I truly believe, because he's not that far removed out of the college game. And some of these guys that are playing baseball or playing in the majors are not that far removed from the college game. And he doesn't rely on those analytics as much as what Craig does. Craig was an analytical guy. He relied on the analytics, to me personally, way too much. I love small ball. I've always loved small ball. I think we've talked about it, I don't know how many times on this show, and how much I like the small ball, because, like what Randy said, you get a single, it turns into double.
Yeah.
Look at the on-base percentage that the Brewers have had this year. They're taking walks. What happens when they get out, like was brought up today. I mean, Frelick can go for 0 for 2, but have two stolen bases.
Right, yeah.
Because he's going to take off.
I'm a gigantic fan of small ball, and I'm a big fan of stolen bases. Without that, I don't think that you have some of the most exciting things in baseball history. Without either of those things, let alone in today's game, where you've got. I think we're starting to see slowly a bit of a change of strikeout or hit a home run. We're starting to see a little bit less of that, and we're starting to see a bit more of the consistency of, hey, I just got to get the ball and play.
How many times haven't we said, start of the 10th inning, the first guy should be bunting every time. Get him to third base,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got a fly ball, and you're winning the game, or ground out to the right side. Yep.
Hey, always good to talk to you, Kev. Thanks
for
the time, man.
All right, you guys. Have a great week, and we'll chat next week.
Sounds great.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Randy, you've got some great local stuff for us.
Well, it has been a busy high school week this past week. We'll start off in girls' high school softball action, where the sectional finals were held last week, and the winners head down to Madison this Thursday through Saturday. We'll start off first in Division 5, where the Assumption Royals will be making their third straight appearance and eighth overall. As they crushed Hillsboro 10-0 in six innings, Macy Vollert surrendered only five hits while striking out 11. While at the plate, she went 3-for-4, including a home run. And Ari Cavanaugh also had a round-tripper, plus four RBIs. So the Royals will play at 8 a.m. Friday morning at Goodman Diamond against Pacelli, who Assumption beat back on April 20th, 3-1. And I just had a little conversation via text with Michael, and he's hoping to get down there so that he can broadcast it for us.
All right.
Seth back here at our studios on our sister station, FM 105.5 WIRI. Mm-hmm. The winner of that game will face either top-ranked Oakfield or unranked Thorpe on Saturday morning, also at 8 o'clock, for the D5 championship. From Division 4, Auburndale shut out Oliva Strum 2-0, as they will now face number 2 seed Cuba City at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. The winner will get number 1 Fall Creek or unranked Coleman. In Division 3, the only area team that remained was Adams Friendship, and the Green Devils got beat by second-ranked Broadhead 2-0. From Division 2, top-ranked Mosinee punched their ticket to state with a 1-0 victory over Rice Lake. Mosinee takes on Lake Mills at 2:30 Friday afternoon, with the winner facing either New Berlin Eisenhower or Waupun. And in Division 1, no area teams are headed to state, as Wisconsin Rapids fell in the regional finals 9-0 to Chi High. For the boys, the sectional semis and finals will be held tomorrow, weather permitting. Looking at some of our local area teams that will be in action, first in Division 1, Stevens Point will square off against unranked Eau Claire North. From Division 2, top-ranked Mosinee faces number 3, Green Bay Notre Dame, while Medford and Merrill will do battle. In Division 3, Auburndale takes on 5th-ranked Bondiwell, and a host of teams in Division 4 as 2nd-ranked Pittsville goes against Oliva Strum. Pacelli plays a co-op team from Door County, that's Gibraltar and Washington Island, and Edgar will face Rib Lake. The regional finals were held this past Saturday for girls soccer. In Division 1, Wisconsin Rapids was blanked at Hudson 2-0, while DC Everest picked up a home win over Eau Claire Memorial 2-1. From Division 2, River Falls topped Marshfield 1-0, while in Division 3, Ashland whipped Wapaka 4-1. And in Division 4, Assumption faced Adams Friendship for the third time this season, and the Royals were tied with the Green Devils 5-5 at the end of regulation. Then, after both teams went scoreless in the first two overtime periods, Adams Friendship prevailed 4-1 in the shootout. They'll take on River Valley on Thursday. This past Friday and Saturday, the Boys and Girls State Track and Field Championships were also held over in La Crosse. For the boys in Division 1, Arrowhead, Onalaska, and West Appear took the top three spots. Division 2 saw Lakeside Lutheran, Somerset, and Osceola finish 1, 2, and 3, while in Division 3, it was three local teams capturing the top three positions. iScan grabbed the crown, followed by Stratford and Edgar. For Assumption, the 4x100-meter relay team of Owen Hagen, Joseph Johnson, Mason Kubis, and Manny Schultz finished in 8th place, and Nakusa's Jeremiah Dye also grabbed 8th place in the long jump. Next, for the girls in Division 1, Arrowhead also captured first place, followed by Homestead and Verona area, while Stevens Point finished in 12th position. In Division 2, Freedom and Rice Lake tied for the championship, and Green Bay Notre Dame was third. And in Division 3, it was Deerfield, Cameron, and Fenimore in the top three slots, while Pacelli was 7th and Assumption finished 10th. For the Royals, Bella Thomas had quite a day. She finished in 1st place in both the 100 and 200-meter dashes. Ooh. And also took 9th in the 400-meter dash.
Nice.
Also, Assumption's Brooklyn Shanick grabbed the 12th slot in the 1,600-meter run. And finally, Pittsville's Reese Grimm finished 8th in the 400-meter dash. And that's all that took place this past weekend.
That's it. Nicely done.
6 pages worth of info.
Man, that is incredible. Nice work, as always, brother. I really appreciate the great work you put into that. And the great coverage you get us, the information you get us through that. What a week. It's amazing.
One of the busiest high school weeks of the year.
I like to sandwich this, Randy, your great stats right there, with a stat of the show, and we're in baseball season. season, so I like to get to some baseball stats. And one of my favorite hitters of all time, my best friend's favorite player of all time, Tony Gwynn. Good one right here. I think maybe one of the more common ones, but if you had not heard, Tony Gwynn had more four-hit games than multi-strikeout games in his career.
That is incredible.
Like, by far and away, had more four-hit games than games where he had more than one strikeout.
Isn't that amazing?
Incredible. It's an incredible stat.
Makes me think of Rod Crew. You know, he always made contact.
Yes. Yeah. You could always count on that. Yeah. And I'd like to think that we're going to see a little bit more of that. I'm hoping. And speaking of stats, we have to touch on the addition of the Negro League records that took place 3.5 years after Major League Baseball announced in 2020 that it would elevate Major League statistics to MLB's official record books. That has really, really been fun to see and very cool to see. I think it's also spoke to a lot of how, I think for a lot of people wondering why this wasn't done sooner, certainly. I think that needs to be said. You can have two things be true at the same time. It's really cool that this is happening and that we're at a time and age where it is. And at the same time, hey, you know, you could have done this a while ago and everything. That being said, I think it also speaks to our relationship with numbers in baseball. Where I ask, my brother or his generation and stuff, hey, give me the top five home run hitters of all time, and give me the number of home runs they hit. And like our generations knew these numbers, and more the younger generations, I'm not saying they don't love the game like we do. They're not tied to the numbers like we are. And I find that part interesting, too, to hear how there's a lot of people talking about, oh, all-time hits leader and these things, while at the same time not really knowing the numbers and not really having a real care for the numbers like we used to, where it was such an integral part of being a baseball fan. How many consecutive games did Cal have in a row? Like, these numbers that we just knew off the top of our head.
I mean, we did not talk about this ahead of time, but we were talking about this yesterday during the Brewers broadcast because they said that Adamas and Contreras were supposed to sit out yesterday, and they went to the manager and said, you know, we're playing, you know, because they have this streak of like 60 games consecutive played together. And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
one of the longest streaks that the Brewers have ever had. They're just a couple behind the leaders. And I said to my grandchildren who are sitting there, now just think, you know, they got 60 games together. Okay, that was it. But go back to Mr. Ripken, right? Mm-hmm, Cal Ripken Jr. Mm-hmm. 2,130 he surpasses, right?
And yeah.
I don't remember the exact number he finished up with, but I want to say 2,300 something.
335, right? I think.
So, yeah, it's pretty close to there. And it's just like, and my wife looks at me and goes, so did he just stop or did something happen to him? I said, he finally just said it was time to stop.
Yeah.
You know, just you talk about going to work every day, right?
Yeah.
And it's not, they were just talking about that, not letting your teammates down, showing how to be a leader, just playing on. It's one thing if you're injured, but he played through injuries. Obviously, you don't play that many games without being injured. Now, nothing major, obviously, otherwise you can't
but
play.
But still, you're right,
but
playing
still,
hurt. Yeah. Well, and I don't think enough is said about, well, what ended his streak? Oh, an injury. No, it was Cal saying, "Yeah, I can't bring it anymore. I don't have it anymore. It's not fair to me. It's hurting the team. So I'm good." And he kept playing a little longer.
Oh,
like, he started the new streak. It didn't last as long, but he started the new streak and everything. Like Cal Ripken, like,
will that one ever be broken?
Yeah. That second one. We'll have to look into that. Yeah. We will do that. We'll come back, and I want to get into two big things. One, I want to talk the NHL and NBA playoffs, and not necessarily to all of our diehard friends and fans out there and everything. I want to talk to you fringe fans out there, you people that are looking for something to do, maybe want to watch some sports or something like that. I want to speak to you when we come back on Playmakers. It is proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Come one, come all to the NHL and NBA playoffs. Let me interest all of you casual fans out there in some exciting teams with some exciting players. Let's look at the NHL, where we have arguably the greatest player in hockey. Coming to Florida, as we have the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers facing off. And you have Connor McDavid, arguably the greatest player in hockey, one of the greatest players of all time already in his career, in his first Stanley Cup. Also Canada in the first Stanley Cup that they've been in for quite some time. Canada has not won a Stanley Cup in decades. This is the first opportunity and maybe the greatest opportunity they have had in maybe 30-some years. It's kind of exciting if you want, if you're a casual sports fan, you're looking for storylines. These are some of the things that might interest you, might bring you in.
Might take you back to the great one in his days in Edmonton.
In that jersey, yeah, yeah. It's going to be kind of cool to see where you have a whole country backing something. And with that, you know us Americans, if Canada's going to back their team, we're going to back ours.
Absolutely.
You got the Florida Panthers, one of the original cool teams. They're a good team, though. They're a great team.
Right.
In all seriousness, I got to think the Florida Panthers have been around 30 years.
I think they were discovered by Juan Ponce de
Leon. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's accurate. This is the best team they've ever had in their franchise's history by far. They are so deep, and it is such a solid team and a grinded out team. If you don't come out of these games just looking at the box scores, know that whatever goals Edmonton scores, they earned them.
You know, we always talk about fun stats. Mm-hmm. How about this for a fun stat? Both teams won game 6 2-1 and won the series 4-2.
It's crazy. You don't see that.
No.
It's rare nowadays, it seems like, where we get the best player in the sport in the championship game, in the final games. Having Connor McDavid in there along with his partner in crime, Draisaitl, that is going to be a wicked combination. And don't forget, again, America, I got your back. I'm the biggest homer of all. Keith Tkachuk is over in Florida, who I think is maybe the greatest American player. Austin Matthews, him, it's neck and neck most times. But Tkachuk is one of those.
Tkachuk's fun.
Whoo, he is. And he is a playoff player, man. I mean, he is built for this. It's so much fun. If you're an average hockey fan, encourage you to check out this series, because I don't think we could have asked for two more exciting storylines than what's going on with Florida and Edmonton in these players.
And there is something special about NHL playoffs. I don't know.
You get it, Randy. You get it, right?
Yeah, and yeah. and the finals? Come on.
Oh,
gotta
yeah.
watch it.
Yeah.
Must see TV.
I think I've heard football players say this. It's the hardest trophy to win in sports, the Stanley Cup. Not only that, but you talk about a true legacy. Your name is literally etched on the cup. Like, it's there eternally. It's always going to be there. There's no getting that off of there. I mean, it's such a legacy to be able to build. And if you're Connor McDavid, this is it. This is what everything is built on. At this generation, it is all about winning. You can't be considered the greatest if you haven't won more than once, let alone just winning one. You got to win that first one. This is his opportunity. And then Florida, who was there last year in the Stanley Cup Finals, there's not a hungrier team in the NHL than this Florida team, and they've proven it. The amazing run that they have had here, where they beat up Tampa Bay, the team that has been their boogeyman for so many years, and been their really the team that they've had to worry about over these years too. They beat them. They go in Boston and beat Boston in the Boston market. They beat New York in the New York market,
which everybody else in the country smiled about.
Right. And now they got to take on Canada, the whole country,
every province.
It's pretty exciting. That's pretty cool. And of course, the NBA playoffs are going on. For those that did not hear, you've got the Dallas Mavericks going up against the Boston Celtics. I don't have to explain, if you're even a casual basketball fan, the history of the Boston Celtics. And I don't mean just winning championships, but how the fan base can be sometimes. And some of the players that they tend to enjoy and like and everything. Well, on the other side of the ring, you have Luka Doncic.
Yes.
Who you can make the argument is the greatest player in the world. And if not the greatest player, he is right behind Nikola Jokic or Giannis Antetokounmpo or one of these guys.
Top five, probably. Top five, at the very least.
Definitely. You're starting an NBA team, and you get offered Luka Doncic, you're going to take him. I mean, unless you're the Atlanta Hawks and you trade him for Trae Young.
But Luka and Kyrie, 35 points apiece in that final game.
You have a guy here who is not only playing great basketball, but he is locked in. He wants this. He's smiling. He's enjoying himself. He's having fun out there.
I couldn't believe it. I turned on that game 6 the other night, and it was like, what? Or it was game 5. What? It was like 35-12.
Yeah.
And it was in Minnesota. It's like, this can't be going on.
I would put everything I have on this. If you asked every Boston Celtic fan with a lie detector and asked them, you could have any player in the NBA, Luka Doncic would be the number one player that they would want. Easily, I believe that. But without a shadow of a doubt, for a lot of reasons. But I have no doubt of that. And so going up against him, I think, is going to be pretty exciting in those games in Boston in particular. The redemption redemption tour that Kyrie Irving is on, and trying to prove that he is not just a one-note player, that he doesn't just have one play in his career.
And that he played with Boston, right?
Right, yes. And yep. Him going back to Boston, yes. Yep. That's another great storyline,
so
right there.
That guard matchup with those two teams? Wow.
And this Boston team, you've got a team that for at least the last three seasons has been talked about, hey, are they going to win it all this year? Hey, are they going to win it all this year? This year in particular, where they have just been blowing out teams. Their average wins are like in the teens, in like 10 to 15 points or something like that. And that's in the regular season. In the playoffs, it's been by like 15 to 20 they've been blowing teams out. So now granted, that means that it could be a quick series. It could be a sweep. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think you've got at least a five-game series here, at the very least a five-game series. And I don't know which direction I'm going with that. I really don't. I don't know what team I'm betting on, because I will say there's a couple things in sports that you know to look for and love. In hockey, hot goalie. Give me a hot goalie. Give me a goalie who is on the run. I don't care about his regular season. Is he hot now? Give me that goalie. And in basketball, it ain't that different. Give me a determined player. And we've seen a guy like Allen Iverson be able to get his team all the way to the finals and even win a game, but really not be able to do much else. We've seen that, and that's what could happen here with Luka and Kyrie. But I don't think so. I think you could make an argument that up to 1 through 12, Dallas has a deeper team than Boston does, especially if Porzingis isn't going to play. So yeah. There is a lot of storylines and a lot of different things going on here with this NBA Finals that I think are pretty exciting, especially getting to see one of the best players, if not the best player, in the final games.
Well, just think of that backcourt. Tatum, Brown, Drew Holiday from the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe we would be wrong if we didn't say Sam Hauser from Stephen's Point.
Oh, got to get Hauser in there. Got to get Hauser
in
there.
The
yeah,
in
yeah,
series.
He could be the difference maker. Never he really
know.
Could be.
Never know.
I think it's going to be exciting, and encourage all you casual fans to watch and enjoy, and call up and let us know what you think about it. Call up and let us know what your feelings are. Every Monday we'll be here, and more coming forward, coming up, because we're going to be taking over your afternoons a little bit more here on Playmakers. I would say at the end of the month, we are going to be taking over the 5 to 6 slot. We will be joined by, of course, Melissa on Tuesdays and Thursdays. She'll have her hours, and we're going to have some fun with this. We'll talk more about it on the morning show, but just to throw it out there to you all and everything. Last week of the month is what we're looking at. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Playmakers from 5 to 6. So we'll be live and direct for that too. We're not. I'll be coming into the studio. I'll be doing it. Randy will probably be busy doing calling games or something. So I don't know how much I'll be able to get you on the air with me. But that'll just give us an opportunity to talk to you maybe at the field or at the game or something like that. It's going to be a really exciting opportunity for our listeners, for us to engage more with our local sports.
Yeah, it'll take us back to those old days of football Friday night and the fun we used to have.
Yes.
At the different venues that we'd be at, and give a little update and report. And that's always kind of fun to do.
I wanted to wrap up, Randy, doing something kind of fun, I think. We have our different stats and different things that we do on the show here. I want to do a Bill Walton good story of the sports day or sports world, you know, and what's going on in sports. We, you know, the Mouse Network usually leads with a bad story or some of these things. I want to make sure that we get good stories out there. And I want to do this in honor of Bill Walton, who I think was one of the most positive human beings in sports history, and a guy that just was very well loved and received and liked. And so with that one, I want to first off shout out Simone Biles. Simone Biles won her 9th national title and gives the Olympic champ Suzan Lee a boost along the way. So that's good for our Olympic team going forward into the summer games and everything.
It's only a couple weeks away.
USA, USA. And our main good story of the week is, of course, our Assumption Royals going back to state and everything. A third time in a row.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty cool.
That's
that is great.
Awesome.
We appreciate all of our sponsors out there, all of our great throughout the whole season, all the businesses out there that sponsor these games, that give us an opportunity to get them on the airwaves for you. We thank them. Want to thank, of course, these schools for letting us come on down and be able to enjoy these games. And, of course, you guys, Randy, Seth, Mike, you, all the great coverage you guys bring us. I appreciate you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to cover these kids.
You get to be our first good story of the show, of the segment.
There
you
go.
Get to be a part of that. That's pretty cool. As far as the games coming up, we're, of course, the home of your Rafters, and we got more Rafter baseball on your radio dial tonight. 6:20, our pregame will kick off as the Rafters are up in Lakeshore to take them on. And tomorrow, a day off.
What?
The first day off. Yeah. It's I don't know about this. I got to double check with Tyler about this. A day off? No. They have earned that. They have earned it. That is pretty cool, actually. They get them that day. Wednesday, they'll be back in action in Madtown. 5:50, our pregame will kick off as the Rafters are in Madison. That'll be a good one right there. And then on Thursday, more Rafters baseball, staying in Madison for back-to-back games, both of those 5:50 pregames. On Thursday on WIRI, 8 a.m., Assumption Softball. Friday on 8 a.m., Assumption Softball versus Pacelli, semifinals of the state tournament.
I had Thursday in my brain, too, because it starts Thursday, but they don't play Thursday. They play Friday.
Time's a flat circle. It really is. We got bats, Randy. Randy and I are going to go act like Star Wars characters with these bats. We'll try not to hurt ourselves so we can get back here, not be on the DL next Monday to do another Playmakers. Thank you so much for joining us, all you callers, and a big thank you to Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Randy, thanks for a good show.
Yeah, thanks much.
Be good to each other, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.